Up there, we went on to talk about last week. We talked about how we've got to beef it up a bit when it comes to being Christian community. So in your bulletins, you'll find again the I'm interested sheet is in there, and that came out of last week's sermon. If you didn't get to hear last week's sermon, I encourage you to go back and listen to it either on our website or on our Facebook page. Listen to that sermon because that will explain that piece of paper that's in your bulletin. But doing and being in Christian community is a God thing. It's a God plan. A plan that God wants us to engage with so that we will move up and be stronger, more focused, more energized, more courageous, and that we together can be iron that sharpens iron. So, if you need to catch up, do that. But these are ways that we intentionally become more a part of who Christ is. So today, I want to, for us all, to be reminded that on this journey of moving on up, becoming more like Jesus, becoming more engaged with God's purposes and His kingdom, and growing, if you want to put it in simple terms, growing as a person and growing as a church, we're going to have to embrace and remind ourselves that the Word of God is our foundation. And one of our, we established for this new year, four core values. We're going to be talking about those probably in the weeks to come. I'm starting today. And one of those core values that we said we are going to embrace is this, that we value being scripturally grounded. Grounded. In other words, we will plant our feet in that, and we shall not be moved. And if we are scripturally grounded in our journey and our commitment to God, His truth, His words, His ways, His character, if we are grounded in those things, guess what? We can't help but grow. Growth will come naturally as we engage the fertile soil of His Word, His truths. And we might be here this morning and we say, well, yeah, I've been a Christian a long time, and I read my Bible all the time. Do you have it all memorized by now? Have you engaged every truth that's in there? Then I think we better be moving on up. What do you think? Yeah, there's always more. Do you know why there's always more when it comes to the Word of God? Because it's alive. It's not just words on paper. It contains life. It is a moving Word of God because God is always on the move. That means His Word is always on the move. And that means that He has more for us to attain. So we need to get grounded. Grounded in ways we haven't experienced yet. Learning things we haven't embraced yet. Learning to be all in when it comes to engaging in His truth. So we're going to talk about that for a few minutes because the Word of God is truth. We've got to settle that. You know, we're going to get our truth from somewhere. We say we're in an age where everybody discovers their own truth. That's dangerous. We'll just create truth for ourselves. So we're looking at various places for truth. Maybe it's some other source. And guess what? Every other so-called source of truth has and will let us down. It will not. False truth will not hold up under pressure. This Word, we've got to learn that this is ultimate truth. It is God's story. It is God's way. It is God's character. It is God's heart. The Creator of everything that is, this is about Him. And He's not a dead God. He's very much alive. and He's moving. And so only the truth will set us free. That's the words of Jesus. And it says in the Bible, says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's not talking about these written pages. It's talking about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And this is just a revelation of that Word. It's a beautiful God-created revelation of the Word of God, which is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth will set us free from bondage. The truth will help us in our weaknesses. The truth will save us from the attacks of the enemy. And we will have freedom from wasting our lives, because truth is in there. And it'll bring freedom from brokenness, freedom from despair, and freedom to be who God has made us to be. Do you see how important this is? The truth of God is our freedom. Some people look at this and think of it as our bondage. Not so. The enemy is the one who keeps us in bondage. The truth of God is what sets us free. Oh, how important it is. And if we're going to move on up, we're going to have this firm foundation of truth that's been proven to hold up in this broken world where everything else fails. We're going to have to embrace it. The foundation of truth. You may know this name, the martyred Christian missionary by the name of James Hudson Taylor wrote these words. He declared this about the Word of God. He said this: "There is a living God, period. And He has spoken in the Bible. He means what He says, and He will do all that He has promised." This is a man who gave his life to spread the word of Jesus to pagan Indians. Gave his life. He said, "God speaks, and He does what He says." The Apostle Paul wrote to a young protege preacher named Timothy. And we're going to look at some scriptures here as we go on. Paul said to Timothy and reminded him of this. He said this: "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We need His truth, don't we? Being set free means that He's going to teach us and train us, or yeah, even rebuke us, in order that we might become more and more like the Savior. Wow. And you know, when Paul spoke those words to Timothy, they didn't even have the New Testament yet. It was in the midst of being penned. They didn't have what we have. So don't tell me the Old Testament has no meaning for modern day Christians. Oh yes, it does. When he talked about all Scripture being God-breathed, he was talking about the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the words of the prophets, all of those things. And we think, wow, that's so old. How can it be of value? Oh, yes, it's of value. Oh, yeah. Then if we go into the writer of Hebrews, chapter 4, it says this, that the Word of God is a living and active. I already mentioned that, didn't I? Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You see, the Word of God, the truth of God, moves in and makes the difference. Doesn't it? It really begins to cut into who we are and refine us and renew us to be like Him. I think about all the prophets of old. I think about the good kings of Israel and Judah. I think about the apostles. And I think about missionaries down through the ages. All of these people being useful and effective because their lives were established on God's truths. That's where real success comes in. Abiding by His truths. In fact, here's how it worked for the prophet Ezra. If we were to go back many centuries, here's how it worked. It says in Ezra 7:10, he devoted himself. I want you to, in your minds, highlight that word devoted. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and the observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Why? Because God's truth makes all the difference. How about if we jump up into James' generation? Here's what the Apostle James said to the first century believers. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, he says, looks into the perfect law, because the law of the Old Testament was imperfect, but guess what? When Jesus came, he said, I came to fulfill the law. In other words, to make the law perfect through love. Yeah, to make it perfect. And when we look into that perfect law, as Jesus would call it, we find there is blessing. Now, in that Ezra verse, we found the word devoted. In this James verse, we see the words intently and the word continue. Be devoted enough to be intent and keep doing it. Keep doing it. The verse you've read 100 times, read it again. Put it into your memory banks. Make it a part of your life. Don't just be a hearer of the Word. Be a doer of the Word. Well, here's the bottom line. We ain't all that smart. And we ain't all that strong. We need the strength of truth on our side. The things that are beyond our fallen capabilities, God is more than able. Oh yeah. Back centuries before Jesus even came to the earth, even then King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus, and was given wisdom from God, he penned this proverb. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. It's a good plan. Good plan. Don't depend on yourself. Lean on His wisdom, His insight, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and then He will make your path straight. Not I will make my path straight. He will make my path straight. How's He going to do that? Because He holds all knowledge, all wisdom, all truth, and I need it. Oh, boy, the Word of God just gets right into it, doesn't it? It shows us the way of righteousness. It challenges us to be more than we've ever been before. It helps us to move on up because it breaks down the lies of the enemy. You do know the enemy is real, right? You do know he's a liar, right? You know he's a destroyer, right? He's a thief. Did you know that? That's why we need truth on our side. To defeat the wiles of the enemy. So my question this morning is this. don't take it personally, but take it personally. How well do you know your Bible? Yeah, self-examination here. How well do you know your Bible? How well do I know my Bible? Not enough. Do you think it would be profitable to know it better? Huh? Yeah. I didn't say, do you think it'll be easy, because it's not. I didn't ask you if it would be convenient for us to know it better, because it's not really always convenient. I said, would it be profitable? Because God wants what is profitable in our lives. I think the answer would be yes. I need to know it more. I think of the Bible this way. The Bible is God's outside voice. You know how we tell our kids? When you're inside, use your inside voice. And when you're outside, you can use your outside voice. The whole world can hear you outside. I don't care. Go ahead. Let it out. This is God's outside voice. It's very loud and it's very clear. The question is, are we listening? Its words change us when we take it to heart. The parts we understand make us strong, and the parts that we don't understand help us to seek and trust Him even more. Don't be afraid that you won't understand. That's God's job to reveal that to you. But He wants you to seek Him with all your heart. God, I just don't know what this is about. I don't understand it. God, would you show me? And guess what? He will unfold it for you. It might be immediate. It might be through a series of events or circumstances. But He will reveal His truth. That's what He wants to do. But in order to do that, we must seek Him with all of our heart. That sounds intentional, doesn't it? Yeah, like I'm in and no turning back kind of mentality. Right? I've made my decision. I believe in His truth. I'm not turning back. I will only move forward. Intentionality. The psalm writer put it this way in Psalm 119, and I'm going to come back to this at the end of the sermon, but Psalm 119, just one verse out of many here, it says this. The psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart, or your truths in my heart. I've hidden it in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's reason enough to get into the word, right? So that I'll quit my sinning. Oh yeah. Does the Word have the power to do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. If I didn't believe my God could rescue me, then I'd just give up. He can rescue me from the life of sin and destruction. He can set me free from the bondage, the chains that the enemy would like to put on me, which are sins that keep me away from God. He's an overcomer. That I might not sin against you. So, do you want to know God more? That was weak. Don't lie, though. Do you want to know God more? Do you want to follow His will with your life? Most of us would say yes. Even though we don't understand what that really will encounter. We still know that His ways are perfect. His heart is perfect. Everything about Him is perfect. So why in the world would I not want to follow God's will? If He's perfect in every way, why would I say no to that? We want imperfection compared to perfection. We want weakness instead of strength. We want to wander through life rather than have a purpose and live in that purpose. Go ahead, scratch your heads, because that's a tough one. Why we reject all that is good to be clothed with what is evil. I just don't get it. But then again, am I willing to move on up higher? Am I willing to engage God more than I ever have before? Because if I'm neglecting that, then I'm one of those people that other people would scratch their head at. You don't want to become more? Yeah, so it's not just pointing a finger out there, it's pointing a finger here. How much do I want to grow? How badly do I want to know the things of God? Oh, I pray, God, that you would give us a longing for you, more of you. Do I want to be a strong and faithful Christian? How about you? Do I want to defeat the attacks of the enemy? Yes, then we must move on up in knowing and embracing the Word of God. The Word of God. My friend that I've mentioned before, I've mentioned him on Wednesday nights, I even mentioned him here this morning, I think. My friend Thomas Raimondo, former pastor, superintendent. Now he has an evangelistic ministry teaching on prayer and so forth. And he's just a guy. He's just a guy moving on up to God. But he wrote this anyway. He wrote this about the Bible. He loves alliteration, so hang with me on this. He said, when the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. And that's why this book delights me and excites me. It's a treasure and a pleasure. Not just a good book. It's God's book. It's inspired. And it is inspiring. It outlives, outlifts, outloves, outreaches, outranks, and outruns all other books. And the way to prevent truth decay is to brush up on your Bible. This book may cause you to wonder, but it will never cause you to wander. It's our guidebook and roadmap, our lamp and our light, our sword and our shield. There are books that people make, but this book makes people. Other books are given for our information, but the Bible is for our transformation. The Bible ends with revelations, but in our lives it can bring about revolutions. Relish its truths. Respect its reproofs. Need it. Read it. Heed it. Love it. Learn it and live it. Believe it and behave it. Appreciate it and appropriate it. Know it in your head. Stow it in your heart. Sow it in your world and show it in your life. Be a Bible bred, Bible fed, Bible led believer. That's moving on up, my friends. Oh, yeah. So this foundation, this being scripturally grounded, is essential to moving on up. Whew. Wow. Living Word of God, the truth of God, and the person of truth, Jesus Christ, would you come and invade us? But we know in order for you to do that, we're going to have to be intentionally receptive. We're going to have to seek you with all of our heart. But I pray that it will be so for this group of believers in this room. And for those maybe that have not come to the point of believing in your truths, I pray they will come very soon and embrace this life-changing Word of the living God as our very own. Lord, press your thumb in our backs. Don't leave us alone. Keep pestering us until we can see that and experience the fullness of God in our lives. This is my prayer. And help us to do it with joy. You gotta prod us. You gotta push on us, but help us to receive it with joy. Because your prodding and your pushing means that you love us. And you want all that you want us to have all that we can have of your grace and your mercy. Oh God, make us hungry. And then, Lord, may the witness of your powerful presence in our lives spill out into our communities. Spill out into our neighborhoods. Spill out into our workplaces and our relationships and our homes. May your goodness just spill out of us all over the place. I pray to your glory. Amen. Amen. I got some homework for you. Smile. It's homework for the entire week, okay? I want you to read and study, contemplate, even pray the words of Psalm 119. Now, understand this. It's the longest chapter in the whole Bible. So that's why I'm giving you a week. Not only is it the longest chapter, but it's also all about seeking the laws and decrees and word of God. Why is the longest chapter the words about someone who is seeking and hungering for the word of God, the truth of God? Because we need it desperately. We need truth desperately. So this week, that's your study assignment, okay? Now, I'm going to take... Now, maybe I better not. If you'll take the homework challenge, I want you to write somewhere on your bulletin or on your Bible, I accept this challenge. Psalm 119. And once you write it down, then it's a promise. Do we understand? I was going to have you raise your hands if you, but I'm not going to do that. If you write it down, you made a promise, all right? That you will take the challenge of Psalm 119 and study it and contemplate it and even pray it before God. Let's celebrate the Word. Go ahead and roll the video. And this song is meant to be a celebration of the Word of truth in Jesus Christ on our behalf. Let's stand as we sing. Up a little more.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, I think I've lost my way. Still, you're there, right beside me. Nothing will I fear, as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide. Hold me to your side.
And I will walk into the end. To the end.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
God
is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. You're the light unto my
Lord, thank you for giving us light. Help us to walk in it, I pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.